So much, Darren, for coming down to share your story with us. Again, my name is Joel, and if you've not met me before, do come and say hi to me. We're going to spend the next sort of 15 minutes or so just considering some of the verses here that we just had read out. Today we are thinking about the topic of change, about true change. And let me ask you, do you know society's secret to change? What is society's secret to change? Here's the answer. Is exams. Exams is the secret to change. Before starting to work for church, I was working with corporate clients, selling them financial products. And most of you would know that in such a role, you need to go for different exams to qualify you to relate to corporate clients. And the role that I was in involved sitting for 6 or 7 different exams. And the hardest exam of all was the ethics exam. And so you need to imagine the scene. You go into this soul-sucking room. The lights above you are sort of white fluorescent light tubes are running on the ceiling. And the room is full with computers, and you get herded into the room like sheep. And there you sit to your computer. You start doing the exam, and you click, and finally you click submit about after an hour. Then when you finish, you come out of the room, and you meet the lady at reception. She's usually quite an elderly lady, often quite grumpy. And then she hands you a piece of paper. And if on the paper it says, pass, in that very moment, you change. Once you were unethical, now you are ethical. And it's interesting to hear what Darren was saying. Even before the results came up from one of his tests, he went to do the exam or the test to show that he has now done what he needs to do so that he doesn't need to get called in again. You see, exams, going through tests, exams, that is society's way to change. Again, don't hear me wrong. You may be really skeptical about that. You may think that exams is just a virtue signaling exercises. But don't get me wrong. There is value in exams and education and routines and habit change. But I think the real issue with that is that the examination does not go deep enough. Imagine instead of a multiple choice question on what you think about ethics, there's a way in which the exam could examine what really goes on inside. Imagine if you could get a score. Do you actually care about the customer more, or do you actually care about your year-end bonus? If there was such an exam, maybe there would be people would never be able to sell to corporate clients. And so that's how society thinks, right? We do kind of exams, both in prison or outside in society, to show that we are changed, to show that we are good people. But often these examinations, they don't go deep enough. And I think we understand that. Surface change is difficult, but not impossible. If you want a new diet, a new habit or regime, it's difficult, but possible. But if you want to change what goes on really inside, that perhaps may be impossible. But to deal with your desires, your passions, what you really care about, your instincts, how do you change those things? There's no button to switch greed on and off. There's no dial to turn down your pride. How do you change the things that really go on inside, our passions, our desires, and our wants? Well, interestingly, we picked this verse, this passage here, because it's dealing all about the issue of change for a couple of reasons. Firstly, this passage here that we had Steffi read out for us, it contains one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But what's also really interesting about this passage is these are words spoken to by Jesus to people who are resistant to change. What happens before Jesus says these words is that he comes and he confronts the established religion. You may know the story. He comes to the temple, and what does he do? He flips the temple tables. He takes out the whip to chase people away. He comes and to confront the established religion. And so people are not very happy about the change that he's bringing, and so they sent the leader, Nicodemus, who is the leader of the Jews, coming to speak to Jesus. And it's in this conversation that Jesus says these words. And what is his analysis? Why does Nicodemus or the people of Israel back then, why are they resistant to change? Look at verse 19 of what Jesus says. Verse 19 from page number 9. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Do you see Jesus' assessment of why people are resistant to change? It's right there. It's because people, they love the darkness. Have you ever been in a completely dark theater room? We were just a moment ago. But imagine being in a room that's completely dark. There's no light that's shining through. You wave your hands in front of your face and you see nothing because you're in complete darkness. Where is right or where is left? Completely disorientating. But you see, the issue that Jesus is describing here is not that we are in darkness. It's not a literal meaning of darkness, but it's metaphorical. You see, darkness here is not about photons and light waves. It is moral. We are in moral darkness. Not about where is right or where is left, but what is right and what is wrong. Think about it, about what society thinks is right. Just a mere 200 years ago, slavery was seen as a moral good for society. But now, 200 years later, rightly condemned as wrong. And so who knows what we think is right in society will not be seen to be wrong in the future. What is right and what is wrong. But more than that, Jesus says something more than just that people are in darkness. Look at that in verse 19 again. He says that people, they loved the darkness. There's something about the darkness that we love. We love the fact that we get to decide right and wrong for ourselves. We love the self-autonomy. We love acting in a way that we want to act. And so Jesus says the reason why people are resistant to change is because people love the darkness. Let's talk about hotel bathrooms. I really love hotel bathrooms because often the... You don't, Steffi? No. I love hotel bathrooms because I like rain showers which have really good water pressure, and I enjoy sort of staying on the shower. My wife, Matilda, thinks I'm probably in the shower for too long. And often hotel bathrooms have really good rain showers. But here's what I hate about hotel bathrooms. You know those mirrors where they magnify your face, and they have really bright lights around those mirrors? And in those mirrors, in that light, all your imperfections are shown. Your blemishes, your blackheads on your nose. The mirror, the light, exposes all your imperfections. So imagine me, you've got a really nasty pimple in the worst place of all on your face, right there on your nose. Imagine that it's swollen, filled with pus. And if you're in that situation and you have that pimple, you hate hotel bathrooms because you hate the light. The light will expose the pus that's swelling all around. And the same way, light, we run from the light because it hides the ugliness. In the same way, we run from the light because it hides, it exposes the ugliness inside. And so that's what Jesus says. Well, people, they love the darkness because truth, well, it hurts. Goodness, it hurts. And so we run away into the darkness. So I wonder what you think about Jesus' analysis, that the issue of change, it goes much deeper. It goes much deeper to our core. It's about what we care, what we love, and it's about the fact that people, they love the darkness. And so what is the solution to darkness? Well, the solution to darkness is what we've been considering all morning. The solution to darkness is light. In a theme verse we read, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, imagine you're in a dark room, and then you hear a voice, and the voice says, let there be light. And blazing light starts to hit your eyes and shines all around you. And in that moment, it hurts. You see, because when you've been in the darkness for too long, light hurts. In the same way, morally, if we've been in darkness for too long, truth, it hurts. But remember, the solution to darkness is light. But more than that, you see, the issue is not just that we are in darkness, but that we love the darkness. And how do you change someone's desires from loving the darkness to following somewhere? And the answer is that Jesus, he says, not just that he's the light, he says, I am the light. He personifies the light. And so the way to deal with a disordered desire is by following someone who is good, to love someone else. And so we heard from Darren, what does he find attractive about the person of Jesus? Darren said his transparency. There's nothing to hide because Jesus knows all of him. And you read on in the gospel, you know that this person, Jesus, he is good. And he stands up to evil. He defends those who are weak. He cares for the downtrodden. And he lays his life down for his friends. Jesus is good. He's good. And there's no one else better to follow. So what is the solution to darkness and loving the darkness? It is to follow the light. And the light is good. Jesus is good. And the truth that he brings is good. Again, if you are not really concerned about how you are at the moment, if you're comfortable with the way you are, it's fine, and you can choose to ignore the person of Jesus. But maybe if there's a bit in you that you don't really like and that you wish to change and you know there's something wrong with you, let me ask, what solution do you have there? Because true change is really hard, if not impossible. It requires more than a PR exercise, more than a tick box exercise. It requires more than atomic habits or new routines. True change requires light. And following light is what will bring true change. Well, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Darren, at age 49 or 50, he decided to come into the light to follow him. And the question for all of us here is, will you? Will you follow the light? Well, we're going to pause for a moment just to think about what Darren was sharing and what we've just heard.